The Annie E. Casey Foundation.
And you are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM. Thank you so much to everyone who generously gave to 88.5 over our last drive. You are wonderful, and we love you more than chocolate and freedom. My name is Joellen Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the mostest. This show is called Art in Your Ear. Today we're going to be talking about writing, writers and writing, and the impact that writing will have. There's a symposium this afternoon at USF St. Pete on Booker Creek, and there's a publishing conference coming up. So please stay tuned here to WMNF 88.5. Thank you.
It's just a silly phase I'm going through. And just because I call you up, don't get me wrong, don't think you've guided me.
Support for WMNF comes from you, our wonderful members, and Florida Southern College, encouraging visitors to experience the world's largest collection of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture with a guided campus tour. Tour reservations and details can be found at flsouthern.edu/FLLW. And that's Kelsey Lu. I'm not in love. Kelsey Lu covering 10cc. I'm not in love. Yes, it was Valentine's Day yesterday. And haha, I'm not in love. But I know that my guest here today is in love. Hello, Tom Halleck. Welcome back to our In Your Ear, Dr. Thomas Halleck of USF St. Pete.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. And you're here because sent out an email and I was like, come into the show. You have to. Because this afternoon, you're leaving WMNF and driving straight back to USF. And at 3 o'clock, you have a symposium on Booker Creek. Will you just give a brief reason as to why Booker Creek Past, Present, and Future Community Forum is happening?
Sure. Booker Creek Community Forum, Gwendolyn Reese, historian, Reverend Jana Hall Perkins from McCabe United Methodist Church, and Barbara Bogalvady with the Edge District are going to talk about the past and present of Booker Creek, which runs through the heart of St. Petersburg, and I often say into the heart of the history of our city. It's the creek that runs alongside Tropicana Field on the south side at Bayfront Hospital, if that helps anyone. It used to be Mound Hospital, Roser Park, and then it fragments under the interstate. It's very important also for the communities that used to run through it.
There's having lived in Roser Park and having lived in St. Pete for years and years and years, one I sort of barely remember. I think I was in college and not paying attention. The community that was there, the gas plant community that was there before there was a stadium, and in Roser Park, and also we're neighbors in the old Southeast. We see people fishing all the time. We see kids playing along creeks and stuff like that. How does a creek like that? Or does a creek like that, and if so, how does a creek like that have meaning to the community?
Absolutely. The history of Booker Creek is the history of St. Petersburg. It started to flood in the 1940s as Pinellas County exploded in population. Then we got flooding in issues. In the 1970s, when the Interstate 175 went through, that took out an established African-American middle-class community in what is now Campbell Park. So very important, the creek goes under Highway 175. People cross it, thousands of people cross it every day. And then, as you mentioned, in the 1980s, the gas plant community, poor African-American community, really a holdover from the segregated Jim Crow days of St. Petersburg, was removed under the name of urban development. And with the promise of light industry, a stadium went in. And now, as the stadium is possibly going to go away, or the city of St. Petersburg is thinking about redeveloping that area, it becomes a really good time to use the creek to think, well, what is the city's debt to the past?
So this show is on the arts.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that struck me about this, and stuff that you've done in the past, right now I have in my hand one of the books that you edited and contributed to the Salt Creek Journal, which again was another urban waterway that has a lot of both narrative type stories and journalism type stories and stuff like that. So how is it that you've come to use this narrative or this writing and storytelling and et cetera, all the words, to talk about urban wildlife?
Absolutely. I teach nature writing over at USF, and when I used to go on the sort of traditional wilderness narratives, we would paddle the Upper Hillsborough River, which is beautiful, and the essays that I got were terrible. They were like, I go to nature, and I get in touch with myself, and I feel so relaxed, and it's just boring prose, I know. But going into the city, it throws away, when you look for nature in the city, it throws away all the truisms of nature writing, all the cliches that nature is relaxing, that nature is peaceful, that nature is just, that nature, you know, is the way God intended the world to be, and blah, blah, blah. Look, whether you believe that or not, it's boring prose. And so when you look for nature in the city, it forces you to think as an artist and as a writer, how am I going to frame this? How do I understand this? How can I reach people?
Before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit about downtown St. Pete, and I had gone on a photo hike or photo bike ride to take pictures of all the different creeks going through downtown St. Pete. There's one by the police station, and there's another one just a few blocks away.
That is Booker Creek. Yeah.
So, you know, so I thought, oh, I'm going to do this. And it was so funny to see afterwards on Facebook people's comments, because it was completely split. Like, some people were like, oh, I love that. That's where I go to escape. Or isn't that, you know, the juxtapositioning and this and that. And other people are like, what? What are you even talking about? Isn't that bad? You know, couldn't someone die? You know, I mean, just, it was just a really interesting mixture of reactions to that very fundamental piece of nature doing its thing as much as humans allow it to do its thing right in the middle of a small city.
There's something special about nature in a city, which when you think about it is not that hard to explain. Look, cities are built on ecological hotspots. Mm-hmm. New York City is built on an archipelago and an estuary. How many great cities are founded where there were natural resources to begin with? So nature often comes back with a vengeance in cities. What I love about St. Petersburg personally, and I guess I love the Tampa Bay area, is that we have great museums and then we have apex predators. You know, you can go to the opera and the next day something can eat you. I think that's what makes our city special.
There we go. Live now. Live for the moment before an alligator chomps you up. Well, we're speaking with Dr. Tom Halleck of USF St. Pete about a symposium this afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Nelson Pointer Library at the St. Pete USF campus. Mm-hmm. And it's about Booker Creek. And when you wrote me about this, I was so interested in the fact that you are looking at a bunch of different threads of this. There is the systemic racism of destroying neighborhoods, African-American neighborhoods, and for the sake of quote-unquote progress. There's the environment, because, mm-hmm. of course, it's what has happened. The cleanliness and the lack of cleanliness of Booker Creek has gone up and down. History, because there is a crazy history of Booker Creek. It's very much fundamental to all of St. Petersburg. And then there's the beauty, just the beauty of Booker Creek, the way it sort of wends its way around, and the loveliness of it. As I said, I lived in Roser Park, and there's parts that are just so, like, heart-stoppingly gorgeous. What's your goal for this? What do you want to have happen this afternoon?
Well, I think this is part of a nationwide movement in environmental studies. This is part of a nationwide movement in environmental studies to look at the nature in the city as nature, not as something out there, but nature is something that is part of our daily lives. As I've begun to research Booker Creek more and more, I've also begun to see that there's artists all over that are thinking about rivers throughout the United States that are in cities. The Los Angeles River, where, remember, Greece, the famous drag race. I think it's in Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah, well, also Chinatown.
Yeah, used all over the place. In the West Village, Mineta Creek, which is, well, of course, where Mineta Street is, that no one really thinks about where that is. The Fleet River in London was a drainage ditch through the 18th century where a lot of awful OFFAL went, a lot of nasty stuff. And in fact, I came across a poem by the great 16th, 17th century dramatist Ben Jonson, a mock epic traveling up this creek that no longer even exists. So across the country, and I think around the world, we are starting to think about the creeks that are buried under our pavement. And I think the sooner we recover the stories of the creeks under the pavement, the better off we are, because especially with climate change, water does not forget where it runs.
Water has its way. And also, we're speaking briefly about bridges too, because there's this idea, you know, I mean, it's the most basic human interaction that we have with urban water is going over it, you know, or burying it, or, you know, bridging it. And there's, to me, always this sort of, in a way, sacred thing about being on a bridge where you don't belong anywhere, you know, and that's, you belong only where you are when you're on a bridge. And so where's the whole part of, or is there a whole part in today's symposium or in your ideas about Booker Creek about the bridge or the human control of the creek.
Oh, that's been really fascinating with Booker Creek. Because the creek runs a short distance and it runs so fast through sand, it cuts a very, very high gorge. Mm-hmm. And the bridge over 9th Street, or MLK, actually is very, very high, and that has been snake bit from the beginning. In 1912, the mayor of Gulfport was driving along and ran into a horse and buggy. And the mayor's wife had a nervous breakdown. There have been cars falling. There have been car crashes on that bridge forever. That's also where the mini lights live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I told you when you wrote me this, I told you my Booker Creek story. I never wrote it for you. I'm sorry, but we had a fun drive. But I used to have to walk when I was first graduated from college and I was getting ready to go to grad school. I had a job as a traffic reporter, and I walked to work every day because it was downtown where the Hilton is now. And I saw a body in Booker Creek. And so I still got in trouble for being late to work, even though I found a body. I always remember, like, well, I found a body, and that's more important.
You were working as a reporter, though? Did you report that story?
I was working as a traffic reporter, so I couldn't say, like, don't drive on 3rd Street because there's police cars because of the body I found. But it was just so strange and sad to have seen that. But it turned out that the person died of natural causes way down in another part, and then the
body
over the night the body, you know, was going heading out to sea. And that's what I always thought, like, oh, you know what, I wonder if not just that the water wants to go out to the large body of water, like the water longs to be united with the large body of water, but maybe there's something that we all want to sort of return to some large body of water. I don't know. There was something there.
Well, also bridges are kind of sacred, aren't they? Because they connect liminal spaces, and bridges are where magic happens. The trolls live under bridges. Mini lights live
trolls live on Twitter.
Who knows what's going to... Trolls live on Twitter, yes.
So what are the mini lights?
The mini lights, very, very old story in St. Petersburg, little green men that if you say, I'm not going to say it, but mini lights, come out tonight. If you say that 3 times, then the little green men will come and get you.
Really? But they can't get us here if we say it.
No, maybe not. I'm not going to test
mini it. Mini lights.
I'll take it off my headphones.
No, they won't come get you.
They won't come get me. There's a lot of different explanations to it. The Weekly Challenger, the African-American newspaper, ran a really brilliant story about how the mini lights in the story tied to alligator farms and the connection between their the folklore, the belief that African-American children were fed to alligator farms, and the mini lights were used to deliver the kids to alligator farms.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, other people say that that the mini lights were used to get the kids inside, away from the bad things that can happen under the bridge.
Right.
You know, there's also a lot of illicit activity under a bridge, of course.
Mm-hmm. I used to, when I had my dog, good dog Carl, I used to walk over to that bridge a lot, and there was something very powerful. And places have a powerful feeling when you went near it. Like, there was sort of like, every single time, do I want to do this? And my dog never wanted to go through there. Like, never. I probably only went through maybe 4 times in the whole many years that I lived there because the dog was like, nope, not doing it, not going there. And I was like, well, you know, you got to listen to your dogs. You are listening to 88.5. This is Art in Your Ear. We're talking with Tom Halleck of USF St. Pete, who has a symposium this afternoon. I wanted to spread this out a little bit and talk for a moment. You know, as I mentioned before, you have the Salt Creek Journal. Here you're having a symposium on Booker Creek, and you've gathered stories and writing about that. What is it about the words and the place where you live that you're, like, what's that for you to put those two things together?
Sure. It comes down to a really basic philosophical question. It's super deep to me. When does a creek become a ditch? And I think that's not only semantic, but that's also moral. When a creek is no longer a creek and it becomes a culvert, do you care a little bit less? I mean, people will throw something maybe into a sewer. You say that word, sewer, an open sewer. But if I say stream, then, you know, I think da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And what happens is that when we urbanize, when we fragment, when we culvert our creeks, our streams, we then forget about our tie to the natural world. And I think that's very, very important, and important to remember, especially in these days. And I think, as we were saying, writers And artists are the ones, we really are in some senses culture's first responders. We're the ones, I think, cause maybe because we're a little edgy or nervous or insecure.
Canaries
or whatever,
in the coal mine.
We're paranoid canaries in the coal mine. And so I think as a result of that, we tend to see things a little bit ahead of the policy and the politics.
Is there something that happens after today's symposium with what is going on there? What's the next step from it?
I'm super excited about this. We are going to assemble a book. Booker Creek is, we're going to call it Booger's Creek, which is the vernacular name, maybe.
People won't know how to look for it.
No, that's right. We're looking for further essays, stories, poems. Anyone, send me an email at USF St. Pete, Thomas Halleck. I'd love to see your work. I've also been working with Gibbs High School with a former student that is an English teacher, so I've been going into Gibbs two or three times a week to work with some of the students there on beginning to formulate their own responses.
Wow, that's really wonderful. Yeah. Well, for that, I'll send you my dead lady story. So,
oh, the kids will love that.
So whenever there's a body, it foresaw many years of dead bodies after that. It was my first of many dead bodies, unfortunately. And then are there other, like, is your mind sort of looking at other urban bodies or urban waterways that you're like, okay, you know, Salt Creek and there's Booker Creek, but what about Joe's Creek? Or I don't even know what all the different ones. Is there something, do you have more to choose from? Or it's not like I'm the man that covers creeks, you know? I mean, where are you on that stuff?
I think what I'd really like to do personally is work on an essay about finding the headwaters of Salt Creek, but then put that within the broader context of lost creeks within the city. Mm-hmm. Also, stories of finding headwaters. For me, it's a kind of small epic to try and find actually where the creek ends and when it becomes a culvert, but then be able to put that in a broader nationwide perspective. So it's not just a St. Petersburg story or a Tampa Bay story. It's a story about how human societies and human cultures relate to their environment.
Should we think about restoring then the creeks from culvert back to creek, from ditch to waterway? Is that important for the citizens?
Absolutely. I think, as we all know,
right, yeah,
sea levels are going to rise. This water is going to go somewhere. So I think the more we can think about the buffer.
Wow. So good. Well, that sounds like Mayor Kreisman might need to want to be engaged with this, since he is, you know, since addressing climate change is very important to the city of St. Petersburg and city of Tampa. I mean, we have a good area here for about climate change, and people are thinking about it.
And it starts with art, doesn't it?
It does. It always starts with art. Well, anything that I should ask you about that didn't mention? If people want to get more information online, is there a way online to get it?
Sure. If you find my email is thallock, thallock, @mail.usf.edu. But if you also just, if you use your search browser to find Thomas Halleck, USF, University of South Florida, I should pop up pretty quickly.
And then also, you have a Facebook event for it, and we are going to share that Facebook event on the Art in Your Ear page, probably while the music is playing, if I can find my Art in Your Ear page, on Facebook. So if you're a Facebook person, you can, I am trying to multitask right now and put the link up to the Booker Creek Symposium, which is this afternoon at 3 at the USF St. Pete campus. And the Nelson Pointer Library is right there on 6th Avenue. Well, it's a little off 6th Avenue and 3rd Street, so it's just south of 6th Avenue.
And there usually is parking right off the street if you don't want to pay the $5 for the USF parking.
Yeah, there is always. There's parking. And it's a beautiful day, so walk a block. You'll be fine. Thank you so much
for
coming in.
Me.
I
it's
really
wonderful.
Appreciate it. And let's see. I had some music for you. And, oh, well, just music I thought you would like. It's old school, but I saw when I was getting music together for the show, I saw some Bob Marley.
Ah,
I was like, let's
wonderful.
Play some Bob Marley. You are listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5. My guest has been Dr. Tom Halleck of USF, Booker Creek, Past, Present, Future, this afternoon with Gwendolyn Reese, Reverend Jana Hall Perkins, and Barbara Vogelweide.
Yes.
Did I say that right? And and the community, of course, will be responding with that. And I have the link without anything fancy up on the Art in Your Ear page right this very second if you all need to find it. Thank you so much, Tom.
Have a great day.
You too.
this morning. Smile with the rising sun. Three little birds pitch by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true, saying,
this is my message to you.
How about a little Bob Marley on 88.5 WMNF Tampa today for you? You're listening to Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for tuning in. I so deeply appreciate it. Before we get started, I just want to thank some people. Eric, Lynn, Laura, Sandy, and Suzanne, Peter, Stuart, Stephen, Flea, Camille, Leroy, Duncan, Russ, Amanda, James, Topher, Bob, Chris, Ray, Lisa, Kim, Jennifer, and Michael all donated to Art in Your Ear last Friday or since last Friday to help this show raise $2,500 towards the fund drive. And that is amazing. Thank you to all who donated during the Winter Pledge Drive. It is not too late to give. You can call 813-238-8001 or donate online at WMNF.org. We cannot thank you enough. And let me tell you, there's a few little shows. There's a few shows that they only have to earn a little tiny bit of money more and they make their goal. A show like Underground Mountain, Morning Soul. Of course, you can give to All Souls, the wonderful Scott Elliott's All Souls, Economic Update, and 360 Degrees of the Blues. They all need less than $100 to make their goal. Well, I am super excited and feeling really guilty. I'm happy to welcome back Tiffany Rosano. I'm going to say your last name, Rosano. Yeah, say it the right way.
Rosano.
Yeah. Welcome back, Wordier Than Thou. And it's super nice to meet Lauren Oberweger. Is that right?
Excellent.
Oh, good. And you're here because in not this weekend, but next week, there is a really interesting event that you guys are doing. You're having the, it's the second annual Tampa Bay Publishing Conference. Mm-hmm. And Tiffany, you sent me the information. I think like in 12 seconds, I was like, come on here. Because it seems like this, what you're doing with this conference is so vital and what people need. So will you talk a little bit, you both talk a little bit about what the conference, what the purpose of the conference is?
Sure. I think, you know, we have a lot of writers here in the Tampa Bay area. And I think there's a lot of events that really focus on the craft of writing itself. But I think you'll find that a lot of authors, once their book is done and their book is out, or even if their book is done and they don't have a home for it, they don't quite know what to do next. So we're focusing a little bit more on, you know, the business end of things, the business side of the publishing industry, you know, that self-promotion, you know, that how do you find an editor? How do you work with an agent? How do you, you know, get involved in your own community that, you know, working with libraries and community groups and bookstores and stuff like that. So it's a lot of tools and a lot of things that authors aren't usually just good at on their own. A lot of them aren't very good at promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why that is, but I've found that
The creative types in general, it's a little bit of nature and nurture, because I think over the years there was sort of people were dismissive or scoffed at different types of artists, whatever type it was, who did promote themselves. Like, oh, they can't really be an artist if they're promoting themselves. But also, right. I think the nature of creation, you're like, well, I want to go write. I don't really want to go, I don't want to write letters to editors. I want to write my book. Now, Lauren, you do both.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. So I am a professional editor, and I put on workshops as well. But I'm also a traditionally published author and have to really reside in all of those spaces. And I do think one of the things I love about the conference I was involved last year is it gave people an opportunity to come together. It also gave people an opportunity to see how feasible it is to have a career in the arts. I think there's a lot of misinformation and a lot of like mythologizing about how hard it is, even how hard it is to publish traditionally, how, you know, the gates are all really closed. And I think this gives people an opportunity to see that people are making a go of it and, you know, making a living in the arts.
It seems that I read somewhere where there's almost more books being published right now than in years. Will you take your mic and like turn towards it because I want people to hear you. I just want to real quickly give the information out. The conference is on February 22nd. It's at 1 p.m. And then it goes through the 24th. It starts on at 1 on the 22nd. It goes through the 24th. It's at the Creative Pinellas offices, which is 12211 Walsingham Road in Largo. And again, all this stuff will be up. And if you go to wordierthanthou.com, which is the great organization that Tiffany spearheads, you can get information about there and register and stuff like that. What, as writers, you're both writers, and then Lauren, you were just talking about, you know, some of the other hats that you wear, and Tiffany and I talked about this before coming on the air. So when you do all this stuff that is not the writing, your own writing, mm-hmm. How do you sort of find that, okay, now it's, I'm writing. I'm mm-hmm. not editing. I'm not doing writing for work. I'm not, you know, I want to write. How does that work?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. I write full time. I'm a journalist, so I'm an editor over at Tampa Bay Newspapers, all those Beacon Leader B papers that you get in mid Pinellas County, and I freelance for a number of other places as well. So I'm kind of always writing and always on deadline, and that doesn't leave me with a lot of energy for my own work, unfortunately. And it's something that's frustrating for me, and something I can't even tell you how many times I say. I'm going to start working on this next week, but first, so Wordier is actually a fun way for, it's a way for me to be creative and you know, which I didn't realize at first, because when we first got started, it was just an open mic, and that's all it was, and it was completely selfish, and I'm a horrible public speaker, and, you know, was being invited to speak at all of these different events as, you know, your local editor, you know, and I hated them. So I'm like, I got to get a little bit better at this. And also I'm going to completely control that environment in which I do so. And so I started the open mic, and that's when I saw that there was this need for...
I love that you recognize that. You're like, I'm going to control it.
I'll be the first to tell you.
Me too.
I'm the most laid back control freak you'll ever find. But what I found unwittingly was that there was this community of writers, and I think the visual arts were really starting to take off in the Tampa Bay areas. This was about 6 years ago, and I think the literary arts kind of trailed that a little bit, and I think you're seeing it now, especially in St. Pete, that there's more of a cohesive scene. So Wordier has really let me be creative when I don't necessarily have the energy to mm-hmm. write. And I have a long list of stuff I want to be working on, so one day.
And then, Lauren, what about you? Because you were nodding along when
Absolutely.
Tiffany was speaking.
Yeah, and people, like, I hear the question so often, how do you do it all? Like, you have, and I just say, I do it all really imperfectly and in a, you know, a way that's mostly putting out fires. The fire that needs to be put out is what I'm working on. And I do a fair amount of ghostwriting for publishing houses. So I'm writing, I'm helping other people craft their novels. I specialize in fiction and mm-hmm. creative nonfiction. And for me, I just have to sometimes be okay with, okay, I'm giving myself a half an hour in the morning to just piddle around with my own stuff, or, you know, at night, sometimes an event like NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month, can be a real boost where I'll just say, okay, 2 hours a night from 10 to midnight, that's me time. But it's really always 100% imperfect. And, you know, as much as I'd like to be incredibly scheduled about it and really have everything beautifully constructed in my, you know, professional and creative life, I do not.
And I hope, you know, and I assume that's a little bit of the message that will be at the publishing conference, because, you know, I started hearing this during the 2016 campaign on a regular basis, and it's really stuck with me more than just as a political statement, but as a personal and cultural statement, is that I don't want to throw away the good in the pursuit of the perfect, mm-hmm. you know? And
absolutely.
And the 2 hours that you're doing, and you're calling it imperfect, but it's better than not doing
That's
it.
That's right.
So, you know, so to give yourself that that it's not even a luxury, that necessity, you know, that nutrients, nutrients.
And I would say, too, that all of the other work I do is very creative work, and it's really gratifying, and it really mm-hmm. helps me still stretch creative muscles. And, you know, just as Tiffany said, for her, I don't feel like, oh, there's a deficit of creativity, and then I only get this little pocket. It's just who gets to benefit from the creativity.
Right,
that's
yeah.
the difference.
And it's all related at the end of the day.
100%.
Too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of what we do, you know, as a journalist, a published author, editor, you know, you give back to your community, they give back to you. Mm. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it all just ties in. And
I think that the synapses in your brain don't exactly know, like, oh, wait, no, I'm getting paid for this, so my synapse will shoot that way. Whereas when I'm writing about this, my synapse will shoot that way. You're listening to Art in Your Ear on 88.5. I'm speaking with two of the engines of the second annual Tampa Bay Publishing Conference, which is next weekend in Largo. And who are you... who would benefit? Is this an early career, mid-career? Who are the right people for this?
I think that you're going to find we have probably a lot of newer authors, but also some mid-range folks, maybe some self-published folks. You know, looking at a lot of the people who have registered so far, you know, they have websites, they have books. I think they're just, you know, looking to network and connect and, you know, get those little pieces of information that maybe they don't, you know, maybe somebody has an idea to promote themselves that you've never thought of before. So,
or maybe they have an idea to promote themselves and you're like, no, no. I get that a lot. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm like, no, 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 don't do that. Lauren, when you were there last year, were there any sort of surprises for you with people or anything that has stuck with you that is sort of shaping what you want to do this year?
Yeah, what I felt last year was that there were a lot of people who really were already in the writing space. It wasn't a lot of complete neophytes who had the idea of, oh, maybe I will start to write. It was people, I don't think I met anybody who hadn't already been writing. And so that was really, you know, gratifying. And of course, they're in different places, you know, along the path. That's, you know, that's always the case. But so I was a little surprised at the fact that there were so many people who were already in the space who already were a little bit savvy, and especially the presenters were such a great range of people who were self-publishing very successfully, or, you know, publishing with small presses, who had their debut stories to tell on a panel. And I think for me, it's always... my thing is just how very, you know, as I said this earlier, the how possible it all is, and how it's not just a pipe dream, and how people with the ability to be self-actualizing and self-directed and to come to things like this to gain knowledge can succeed. So really, I think it was the level of, you know, not necessarily people who were super far along in the journey, but people who had made the important first steps, or who were in, you know, mid-list kind of, you know, arena, and who took it seriously.
Now, the publishing conference comes after Writers in Paradise at Eckerd, which is grown into this really wonderful event that's very focused on craft.
Right.
And so here we have like a nice compliment to that, where it's like, okay, you're thinking about writing, you're wanting to write, you're focusing on your craft. Oh, here's some of the important part of it. Is that always, do you think you always want to keep this to be focused on publishing and not the craft part, or at some point will there be sort of a mix between the two?
Right, and that was actually kind of intentional to wait until after. I know, doesn't UT have some of their writing stuff, you know, their
does,
reading series and
stuff?
And
there's the Sanibel,
so,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I knew that, like, January and early February were very, you know, busy as far as craft conferences and workshops and stuff like that goes. And, you know, our intention is always really to offer that, you know, this is the other stuff you need to know. Like, you know, the craft is obviously the most important thing, but, you know, that those tips on how to find an editor, should you self-publish, should you try and get traditionally published? And I think the publishing industry is changing so much, too, that you'll find, you know, somebody equally as successful, like, self-publishing as somebody working with, like, a smaller press. Mm-hmm. And they still have to put in the same amount of work, because a lot of those smaller presses don't offer the same support that they might have used to have as far as, like, marketing materials and stuff. So it's all the same, like, things that you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would just add that craft is not even completely separate from the, I mean, I know you know that. It's not separate from the business. If I think about what I'm going to present or what other people present, there's a craft to creating a really fantastic, compelling query letter. You know, there's a craft to having a really compelling, absolutely immersive opening to your story that also speaks to the business end of it, that you have to, you know, find a way to marry those things. And, you know, so I do think there, you know, there's, even though the emphasis is obviously heavily on the business end, the craft always gets integrated. It has to in some way.
It kind of goes back to the nature versus nurture. If it's always been framed that if you're good at the business part of being an art, not always, that's a lie. It's not always. It has been framed in ways that if you're good at the business end, if you're good at the self-promotion, then should we question your ability to be good at the art, where that they are not necessarily, like, that's not a valid assumption, you know, and so I think that stuff like this helps disintegrate those assumptions, because I think what you're saying is, you know, if you're really good on social media, there's Connie Mae Fowler is on Twitter, and I love reading her tweets, you know, and love reading her books. I love listening to her read her books. Like, I mean, everything. I think she's great, but I really like her tweets because it continues who she is as a writer. And that's, you know, and I like that idea of expanding it. We're starting to run out of time, so I want to mention some other things because Wordier Than Thou and Creative Pinellas and everybody has like 90 million things going on. So, and I just want to mention some of them, and I'm going to miss them. So there's the Anti-Valentine's Day Literary Pub Crawl on the 16th, tomorrow.
Yep.
And that is, where is that happening?
So it's in the Grand Central District of St. Pete. And we're actually, we had to swap the schedule around a little bit. We're kicking off at Old Key West Bar and Grill at 3:00. So okay. Our pub crawls are fun. We have a couple of readers and storytellers at each bar stop along the way. We did Harry Potter last month.
That's so much fun. And then there's Writers Anonymous, a social support group. Writers Anonymous, a social support group for writers, and that's on Sunday.
Right.
There's on the 19th, on Tuesday, St. Pete Storytelling and Prose Open Mic.
That's what we started with, we're still doing that same open mic series.
Right, and that's the old school one. And am I missing something? I feel like I closed a window and I lost
something.
We do
one in Sarasota too, and we're doing that on Wednesday at the Reserve.
Wow. So that's a lot. How has Wordier Than Thou changed over the last few years? It's 2012 is when you...
Yeah, 2012 is when we first started. I mean, as I said, we started out as just that simple open mic, and as I saw the need for, I guess, building more of a literary community, you know, people just sort of, you know, it wasn't intentional. People started to just kind of come out more and more, and then I realized that I could play with ideas a little bit more. So I think we tend to do stuff that's a little bit more offbeat than when we first got started. Right. And it's usually just sort of, it's fun, because it's usually just like, what kind of weird idea can we come up with today and convince adults to do with us? And, you know, it's everything from summer camps for adults to haunted houses to our literary pub crawls. We just try to keep it fun and accessible, and we try to draw out people who aren't really necessarily part of the literary crowd, because, you know, you want to have as many people coming out to support your authors as you can get.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that there's so many writers here in Tampa Bay.
I mean, there's Wordier Than Thou, there's also Keep St. Pete Lit. Yep. So two great organizations. And I think that there's also, oh my gosh, I just forgot the name, in Gulfport, another group started there to help people get published, draw attention.
Oh, so, the Dark Horse?
Dark Horse,
yeah, they're
you.
Actually one of our sponsors for
right,
the conference.
Right, yeah. So it's great that there's this idea, you know, because we do have some world-class authors in our area, so I think it's just wonderful that this is going on. What is your best way? Do you want people to contact you through Facebook, the website? What's the best way
for
Facebook's
people? Facebook's probably the best way to find out what we're doing. They can go to the website to register if they wanted to, but Facebook, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, a full schedule of all of our stuff.
Right. And there is a fee for the conference, and there's a donation or no fee for some of the other stuff, and it's not an expensive at all for a conference at all.
As I said, accessibility is so important
right.
to us.
And then, Lauren, I got just entranced on your website. I was like, crap, I have other work I need to do about your website. So you'll be at the conference, you'll be talking about what?
Yeah, I am talking about the major elements that create interest on the part of the reader, the ways to create a foundation for compelling fiction or creative nonfiction, the things that sometimes people don't think about when they're constructing their work and the premises for their work. So that's what I'm,
that's
one of my specialties. Yeah, I sort of specialize in kind of the emotional response of the reader, and
right.
so I'm always interested in talking about that.
I want to have a future conversation about that, because that's really fascinating. My first career was as a therapist, and it's been always really interesting, because I learned from a really great person. We used to assign a lot of reading to people, mm-hmm. and it always seemed kind of like we were giving them random left field things, but they were all there for a purpose. So
yeah,
that's great. Wow. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. This is really interesting.
Thank you for having us.
Am I missing anything? Is there anything else that you guys want to mention before we start announcements and stuff like that?
No, I think that's about it. If you find us on Facebook, you'll follow all of the 90 million things.
There
that
are
we
90
do.
Million
yeah.
things. And it's great. And I have to say, it's a good way to get out. And if you are if you're interested in writing and you need to give yourself a little kick in the pants, going to some of these events are a really good way to get motivated. Plus, it's a good way to build community, because writing itself is a solitary act. But writers are not necessarily solitary people.
That's right.
Even the introverts are not solitary people. So it's a really good way to be in a space with other writers and feel like you found a place where you belong. So
absolutely.
Thank you both. My guests have been Tiffany
Rosano.
Rosano. Oh, I always get the A wrong. It's the A. And then Lauren Oberweger. So the 22nd through the 24th, the second annual Tampa Bay Publishing Conference, and all that information will be up on the Art in Your Ear Facebook in moments. Moments, I tell you. And then later it'll be up on the Art in Your Ear page on WMNF.org. Thank you both so much.
Thank you again.
For coming in. I'm going to play for you. Actually, it's a cover it's a Clash cover, but this artist, Stu, took the Clash song Broadway and turned it into sort of a spoken word piece. So I'm going to play that for you, and we'll be back with some announcements of stuff going on here in the Tampa Bay area.
6 o'clock in the morning.
I can see the light.
Suddenly I noticed that it weren't quite the same. Feel different one morning, maybe it was the rain. But everywhere I looked all over the city, they're running in and out of bars. Someone stopped for a pickup truck driving one of those cars. You see, I always wanted to be in one of those cars. Long, black, shiny, and pull up to the bars. Honk your horn, put down your windows, push your button, hear it coming in. You can say, I can see the light. Roll forward, drive, green lights, green lights. Intersection City, coming in a running, come back home, coming in a run back, coming back home. Not that strong now, yeah, who's there now? Can I help you? Calling Intel Station Light. Did you put your money in? Yes, I put it in. Did you put your money in? Yes, I put it in. It say go, I say go, she say go, so we say go. It say go, I say go, she say go, so we say go. Cause I can see the light all night, tonight, this night, right now. Coming on forward motion across the ocean and up the hills. Yeah, boys, let's strike for the hills. Give me that petrol tank, it's four. Give me a push, give me a pull, 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 give me a push, give me a pull. It ain't my fault.
I can't see the light.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
I can't see the light.
It ain't my fault.
Well, we're almost out of here. Thank you so much for listening. I want to remind you that Wednesday night, Flea is going to be spinning at the Queen's Head in St. Pete. Flea is going to be out as part of the On the Road with Flea. It starts at 6. It's at the Queen's Head in St. Pete on Central Avenue and 25th Street. I hope to see you there. It's going to be really fun. There's no charge for it. It's going to be awesome. Thank you to the people who donated. Also, a reminder, Fresh Fest. Eric was on last week. The Mural Fest has a bunch of stuff going on. Tomorrow is the big party stuff, and that is all in the downtown area. Go ahead and look at the Art in Your Ear Facebook page. You are listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5, Last Local Radio, Art in Your Ear. Please stay tuned, and thank you so much to everybody donated. You can still donate if you didn't get a chance. Here's